Our guest today in the Global Observatory is Anne Wu, Special Political Advisor in the Office of the United Nations Counterterrorism Implementation Task Force, known as CTITF. She is a career diplomat with the Ministry of Foreign Affairs of China and a former fellow at the Belfer Center for Science and International Affairs at the Kennedy School at Harvard. And I want to ask you first about the phrase countering violent extremism, which has become such a focus of counterterrorism thinking in the UN community that it has its own UN acronym, CVE. What is CVE and why is it so important?
Thank you, Warren, for this interesting question, and thank you for the opportunity to speak at this forum. As you know, counter-violent extremism constitutes a key component in any preventive, comprehensive, and long-term counter-terrorism strategy. It requires the spirits of dialogue, understanding, respect, and tolerance, which are all reflected in the UN Global Counter-Terrorism Strategy, with also an emphasis on addressing conditions conducive to the spread of terrorism. So the focus of counter-violent extremism is that it's a non-cohesive approach to violent extremism and rely on, if I may quote the words of partnering member states, winning the minds and the hearts of the segments of society that would otherwise become targeted by extremist and radical groups for recruitment, funding, and support. And there are many important elements that are relevant to CVE. Probably as you read the working group report by the CTITF group on extremism and radicalization that lead to terrorism, those elements include dialogue, understanding, education, addressing economic and social inequality, prison and rehabilitation programs, etc.
There is a new international center of excellence on countering violent extremism that has just been inaugurated in Abu Dhabi. Can you tell me about its purpose and how it will help the counterterrorism strategy being developed here at the United Nations?
Yes, I heard that the purpose of this center was to create an international venue for training, dialogue, collaboration, and research on countering violent extremism. As you know, this center is under the umbrella of the Global Counterterrorism Forum, which is an important partner with the United Nations. The Secretary General actually sent his message to the latest GCTF Global Counterterrorism Forum meeting, during which the Center of Excellency on CVE was established. And he underlined that our activities can only make a greater impact if we supplement and support each other. So actually, our task force, the United Nations Counterterrorism Implementation Task Force, is exploring potential partnerships with this CVE Center on countering the appeal of terrorism and supporting victims. Our collaboration in this regard can only highlight the importance of multilateral cooperation as well as the preventive approach.
I know that one of the objectives of your office is to combat the narratives that extremists create to justify their actions and draw recruits. How do you do that? Do you debunk their narratives, or do you offer better ones that you hope will de-radicalize extremists, or do you do both?
That's a very interesting question. As you know, counter-narratives is critical in upholding our shared value and promoting the culture of peace, tolerance, pluralism, social cohesion, etc. So whatever the methodologies of counter-narratives, we have to do it according to the context. And actually, it is not only that the messages matter, but also identifying the targeted audience, identifying the credible messengers, as well as find the appropriate media to reach out to the vulnerable community. So our task force actually is deliberating and undertaking a few initiatives by engaging different audience and groups and by using different methodologies. For example, we are having a project on engaging Somalia diaspora on countering radicalization. And for this project, we're targeting at a particularly influential group in the Somalia diaspora, the online media professionals, and trying to equip them with the necessarily professional skills to counter radicalization and also help to debate constructively across political and clan boundaries. Also, in recognizing that supporting victims of terrorism and giving them a voice is critical in counter-narratives, we also aim to continue to provide media trainings to desired victims of terrorism and try to equip them with the media skills so that they could share their messages more effectively, through various medias. As you know, the peace and hope contained in the victims' messages are particularly powerful in countering the narratives by the extremist groups. And we also recognize that internet has a critical role too, because violent extremists like to use internet to encourage people to adopt their views. So the CTITF has also started looking at this area, particularly in terms of using internet to counter the appeal of terrorism. We are having a particular focus on analyzing counter-narrative messages as well as effective messengers who could deliver them. So whatever, methodologies, debunking or creating new messages, I think we should have an aim of transmitting and transforming, which means we transmit the professional skills and then the recipient audience could be transformed with more constructive perspectives of how they see the world.
One often hears in all aspects of the UN's work that there is a connection between security and development. How does that apply to your office's work with advocates and participants in violent extremism?
Thank you. As you know, that the topic of the synergy between development and security has become increasingly important for policymakers, including in the field of counterterrorism. The merits of an integrated approach on development and security on counterterrorism is that it's preventable, it's sustainable, and it corresponds to the basic needs of human existence. Any long-term objective of counterterrorism strategies is to safeguard the life, the security, and the well-being of people. Social and economic policies help to build resilient communities that could effectively counter the appeal of terrorism. Actually, in this regard, the UN Global Counterterrorism Strategy, our Bible, has given us the guidance, because in the conditions conducive to the spread of terrorism, it identifies the social and economic marginalization as well as lack of good governance as among those conditions. And member states reiterate their commitment to eradicate poverty, to promote sustainable development, and they recognize actually that success in this area, particularly in terms of youth unemployment, could help reduce marginalization and countering the appeal of terrorism. It is exactly under this policy guidance that our counterterrorism implementation task force is looking at a few potentials to better and more effectively addressing this link between security and development. For example, we're developing a project on enhancing the capacity of educational institutions in South Asia, with the aim of, through programs such as teacher training, special training courses for students, enhancement of curriculum, to equip the targeted students with necessary necessary or better skills to enter the job markets as well as serve as responsible citizens. Also, under the context of helping implementing the global counterterrorism strategy in Central Asia, which is the first of its kind on regional implementation of the strategy, we are having a special focus on stressing conditions conducive, and we are conducting a study better understanding the linkage between economic and social conditions and terrorism in Central Asia.
You made mention there of the large numbers of young people and educating young people. As we know, the youth bulge means there are vast numbers of unemployed or otherwise idle youth to whom terrorism has some appeal because it gives them identification with something, and they may not have families, may not have societies that welcome them. Is education an important aspect of your approach to counterterrorism? And do you think that undereducated people are particularly vulnerable to radical persuasion?
This is another very important question, and also it's relevant to the previous question you asked about development and security. Given the prominent role of schools and other educational establishments on equipping people with the appropriate perspectives as well as equip them with the necessary skills to compete in the job markets, education has a critical role to play in our counterterrorism efforts, particularly from the preventive angle. And I have mentioned this South Asia initiatives, which we are helping to enhancing the capacity of educational institutions there. Probably I could also share with you another case which we are exploring. This is to address youth unemployment in West Africa. This project we are undertaking was inspired by a case study where we found that 60% of the West Africa population is under the age of 20. You see that while unemployed, marginalized and impoverished, the youth are more likely to fall victim of the recruitment by armed conflicts and terrorists. So our project aims that we recognize that while they may fall to the victims of such armed conflict and terrorists, but they also constitute a large pool of resources for the region's stability and long-term development. So we're trying to undertaking a project that will help to raise awareness of the security threat posed by the youth unemployment to the region, and in the meantime try to put together some training opportunities for the youth in need and to try to facilitate employment opportunities for them. In short, I think that youth is among the most vulnerable groups to terrorism, but they are also one of the most powerful and also who has the greatest potential for peaceful transformation of the society. So that's why education is so critical. Education can provide a better future for the youth and a better future for the society.
That's a great explanation of the importance of education. And Wu, thank you very much for visiting with us today in the Global Observatory.
Thank you, Varun. It's my pleasure.